Hello.
Which one's Adele again?
She's British. She's...
Doesn't she number all of her albums?
Maybe. Sure. That sounds reasonable.
She's Led Zeppelin or something.
Right, yeah, that would be... If that's why, that would be very funny.
I don't know. I feel like her albums are numbered.
Just like Led Zeppelin. I mean, you're probably right.
But I know literally nothing about her.
I feel like...
Numbered like the Books of Sorrow?
Yes! Coincidence?
They might have been like the ages she was when she released them or something. I don't remember.
Right.
Who cares?
I don't.
This is the Cube Corner Games podcast.
I've just never seen Adele and Zoll in the same place at the same time.
Nope. Same. Or I haven't seen her next to a Whisper either, so...
The evidence is damning.
It's true.
I mean, all pop stars, realistically...
I must consult the ancient texts.
Probably feed on... the forces of darkness to some extent. Like
the helium drinkers.
Sure.
Is I think that's the right one.
I don't remember what that's from.
It's methane. It's from that stupid book. The grimoire. It's one of the races of never, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the hives.
Okay.
They're on it.
I know you're right.
Like there are many names or there.
There's like three of them. That's the only one that stuck out to me because it was dumb.
Okay.
The helium drinkers are a group of proto-hive who lived on the Titanic Jovian world fundament. Thank you.
Should I get the sacred texts?
No.
Should we read the scriptures today?
They were presumably later eradicated by Oryx, Savathun, and Ziwurath as part of their oath.
And Adele.
and Adele. Yep.
There's a fourth sister.
Wikipedia literally says Adele right there. So.
Yeah. Wikipedia can't lie.
I don't know what to tell you. Wikipedia's just accurate.
Fair.
You know what else is accurate?
The weather. Forecast.
The weather
forecast
outside
right on.
Is frightful.
Right. My name is Dustin Morbido. That's as far as I know. I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Are you a hive god?
Shrug.
Then die.
Shoulders move slowly. joining me today, sharing her light... Rain Morbido is here.
Fact.
Oh, there's light and darkness everywhere. We're gonna get into it. There's
Ikora.
Multiple.
When someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Multiple video game narratives. driven by the forces of good versus evil. Chaotic neutral. Kyle McGrath is here.
That's generous.
I'd say accurate.
I'll take it.
Then what am I?
Probably chaotic good.
Okay, sure, yeah. It's the puns, probably, but yes, I'll accept it.
Oh, anyway. How's it going, Lorraine? How's the cat at good treating you?
Oh, fantastic.
Roll some dice to determine which orphan you're going to feed to this afternoon via charity or like, trying to think of other fine examples of extremely specific examples.
I mean, I have been watching Punisher lately.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, see, that... No man, no friends, no, he does not need his friends. He just needs
a
trunk full of guns and a, right.
And a target.
And a
bang.
Grubby t-shirt.
Bang.
A grim disposition. How's it going, Lorraine?
I'm still good.
If you want to, I can kick the ball to you first because you've been playing.
Is it a purple ball?
Maybe, it could be.
Fantastic.
Because you've been playing a couple different video games.
I
know you're kind of itching to talk about them.
It's true.
So if you want to lead us off, pick a thing and start swinging.
So I guess I'll start with the more benign of the two,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. I've been playing a little bit of the definitive edition of Tales of Vesperia that came out. And my God, what a stroll down memory lane. The nostalgia's everywhere. I stand by my assessment that is like... the last of the older style of Tales games before they tried to, I guess for lack of a better word, modernize the series. Because that was on the 360 and then ported over to the PS3 for Japan only, which is the version that got remastered for the PS4 and 360 and Switch, I believe it's on, and probably Steam. They've been putting more of the recent Tales games on Steam too. So there's like added things to it because there's always additional things. The remasters, like the console generation remasters generally have more things.
How would you define the way you describe it when you say that they modernize those games, because I kind of get what you mean, but at the same time, they're still all action RPGs that are like...
You know, so I would clarify or describe the Tales franchise as having like three distinct kind of eras. The first one, which was like SNES through PS1, they were all kind of like, the battle screens were 2D, they hadn't transitioned that into 3D, it was mainly sprite-based, they weren't using models or anything. So they were a little more of like that kind of era, like your Final Fantasy VIs, like not quite, they didn't transition past 7 up till that point, which I believe the last one would have been Tales of Destiny 2, I think was the last one. So that is like Fantasia, Destiny 1, Eternia, Destiny 2, I believe, are the games that fall into that area. And then Symphonia comes out, and that's the first 3D battle system, which is kind of where... And then Vesperia is the end of that one. So it's Symphonia, Tales of the Abyss. There's a few... It's hard to tell, because like, I don't know all of which ones are the side games, which ones are the main ones, because there's like two branches. It gets very confusing. There's a lot of games. I think Legendia might actually be more based on that first era of Tales games, because it's kind of different. And then Vesperia ends it. But then after that, they kind of did away with the more traditional overworld kind of style, because Symphonia through Vesperia is basically like 3D, the older games. There's like your like bigger characters on a really small scale overworld. You're walking around, you're just kind of like doing quests like you would in those older games. But the battle system's 3D. But then starting with Tales of Cilia and going on towards the present day, which is Cilia 2, Zestiria and Berseria, I believe.
Yeah, whatever.
Which
is
the latest one.
Sure.
They are more like a seamless overworld into the town. So everything is at scale all the time. You're not walking around an overworld. You're progressing from area to area on a larger map. There's a lot more fast travel. You don't have like an airship like you did in all of those other games. Or airship equivalent.
You don't put down a tiny tent that's the no. that comes up to your knee to rest up.
No.
You rest just in the like, field or whatever.
Walk, and then in like, I think Zestiria and Berseria, they have seamless battles on the overworld, basically. It just like draws a ring around you in real space and you just get into this fight, as opposed to like screen wipe and you're in an arena that kind of looks vaguely like the area you were in. There's my breakdown.
Okay. Now that you describe it that way, it honestly, like, I can see it after hearing you
there's
tell it.
There's very distinct,
but it's not
differentiating
the, like, I would have
factors.
Never picked that out, having not really played any of those more recent ones, but just watching you play little bits and chunks of them. The thing that always stands out to me, which is, you know...
I know you've complained about this.
This is the thing. Again, I haven't done a deep dive on any of these games in a very long time. Vesperia, the original release of Vesperia, is the one I'd played the most of most recently. But though, as those games evolved, the thing that always struck me immediately when watching the footage of them is that it just seems like they have like slowly but surely cheaped out a little bit on like the character art. Like every iteration of those games in that more modern era that you're describing, just for whatever reason, and looking at this game now, the re-release of Vesperia, and comparing it in my head with the ones that I've seen, the other ones that have come out more recently that you've played those too, it's not like dramatic, but there's just something about the way that those characters are designed where the ones from Vesperia and earlier look a little more, they just look like more care was put into them, and a lot more of the later ones just look like a T-posed, like, default anime avatar that someone put a different haircut on, like...
And I still believe that that's because they're a much less stylized, like, because like they had to be, like, if you look at like Tales of Symphonia, that's old ass fucking game. That's like 2000, like early, like mid 2000s GameCube. Like that's an old thing. But all the characters are very like they're deformed. They're small, weird proportioned, and their hands are like fucking enormous. But that's because that's what they could do, and as things got better, they obviously started doing more, but I think once they shifted from the more simplistic gameplay style and kind of revamped that, because they're much more user-friendly in these later versions, but I think they then took away some of the styling from, like, because they didn't need, oh, we don't need to make all of these models by hand because we can just kind of port in a, like you said, just like a skeleton or whatever, like an basic outline of a character, just throw some stuff on it and we're good. As opposed to having to free model everything and they don't need to put that time into it anymore because they're doing a lot more. They're putting like 80 trillion fucking systems in everything. But I think that's, and models are more like that technology is just more available. It's not nearly as hard as it used to be.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just one of those weird things that it's like pornography. It's like people say, I don't quite know how to describe it, but I know it when I see it. It's like that in terms of going above and beyond on art design or whatever. Because the other recent thing I can think of where I felt that same way about watching games evolve over time, but not necessarily evolve artistically over time, is looking at Street Fighter IV and it's launch state in the mid 2000s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then looking at that Marvel vs. Capcom game that they put out a year or two ago. I don't remember. I think it was 2 years ago. Whatever.
Man,
very recently.
Maybe.
And it looks worse. Definitively worse.
And I'm thinking it's because they're less stylized. The more closer you try to get towards realism, I think the more you kind of want to cut corners a little bit and just there's a generic, we don't need to remake this perfectly proportioned human model because it's literally right here. Let's just
mm-hmm.
make it look vaguely like Ryu or Mega Man.
They fell into the uncanny valley and didn't feel like climbing out.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, and the other thing there, that's an interesting point too, is that it's kind of a problem. Maybe the biggest problem is that it's a half step between either. It's not so, things aren't so cartoonish or so stylized that they don't have a sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have something that seems consistently unique or...
Mm-hmm.
Built for the world that they've been put into, but they're also definitely not they're not Last of Us quality visuals.
No,
Thanos level. They don't look like human faces. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like some of that face tech has sort of overcome the uncanny valley where you can see
some of it,
the ticks in people's
mm-hmm.
yeah, right when you spend $200 million on a thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at some of that footage from the Resi 2 remake,
those characters look good.
They look nice.
Mm-hmm.
That game is disgusting and gross and scary, and I don't want to play it. But damn, does it look good!
Yeah, and even the modern Final Fantasy stuff, Final Fantasy 15, that's not quite the that's more stylized, I think, than the face capture style. We're gonna literally put Robert Downey Jr. in this video game by putting 100 dots on his head.
They at least looked like humans.
Yeah, more than an anime man.
Right, but I would say
humanoid anime men.
That those games at least do go and maybe even that's just part of the wardrobe. They paid so much attention to their outfits and their haircuts and all that nonsense that whether you like it or not, for better or worse, the level of detail is there in some form. Somebody paid a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. To the way those characters would appear on screen. And some of this other stuff is it's just really surprising to me how much it takes me out of the world that the world building and the story they're trying to set up, just looking at them and just thinking it looks like you pulled a doll off the rack and you put the Chun-Li outfit on it and gave it the buns.
Here's one final Tales conspiracy theory. So I'm pretty sure Vesperia was maybe the first one under the Bandai Namco name.
Oh, after that merger or whatever?
It was probably in development beforehand. So everything after that is post that.
Sure.
So maybe they could have had some kind of hand in shaping where the series progressed from there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for certain.
Cutting the shit out of those budgets?
maybe.
That's interesting.
Because, it's a fairly big series, definitely they pay more attention to the Japanese audience than the American ones. We haven't seen half the games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a fairly big following, and but probably just not, it's not like Final Fantasy numbers or anything, or Pokemon.
I guess those games are still expensive just because of how long and often they make them.
Yeah. They've made definitely a lot more post PS4 or PS3 actually, kind of later PS3. Cause there's three on there. And I don't know. There's two on PS4. But I wonder if it's just kind of an outside hand, just kind of putting the screws to them a little bit and be like,
Sure, yeah, that's another speculation thing.
Just corporate overlords.
Yeah, I wonder how.
And Namco's been doing a lot. Like, they've been kind of helping a lot out with a lot, like a lot with the Nintendo stuff for like Smash Brothers.
That's a weird company to look at from a Western perspective. It's just they sort of have their hands in everything somehow.
They're really busy, so I wonder if it was just kind of like their way of like, okay, you can keep this around, but like, start putting up the cardboard scaffolding. Like we're making this on the cheap now.
Sure. Am I not even 100% that? Maybe like, because who knows? I don't actually know what the sales figures are like in those games. I don't know how wide their audience is. And
they've got a decent following, at least.
I would say that in general, at least relative to some other like the Konamis of the world, for example. Post that merger, Bandai Namco has probably done better by their legacy franchises than like I said, like a company like Konami or, you know, even a company like Capcom, depending on which year you look at them in.
Whoops.
They released those Pac-Man Championship Edition games, I'm pretty sure, like after that stuff came together, and like they were doing some of the other weird stuff with their arcade things. They do keep releasing those Tails games, which means they're selling well enough to like.
There's a pretty
they're clearly doing okay.
I think there's a Japanese only mobile game that's doing pretty well for them, but I got nothing on that.
And like Kyle said, they have all the weird, like, they're doing all that business with Nintendo, and now there's this weird resurgence with anime games and Dragon Ball games specifically, where they're like, I just saw a trailer for this the last 2 days, I think.
Another Dragon Ball game.
Yeah, they just announced a, like, action RPG thing.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
That, like, it looks okay. Like, there was basically no gameplay in it. Mm. It was just like,
didn't catch anything of it.
Here's a Goku. I would say visually, it looked slightly better than those Xenoverse games and slightly less good than the Fighters game.
I mean,
that's pretty high praise, all things considered. Mm.
There's also a really hard bar to reach when it's like a fighting game versus like an RPG type thing. Because like you have so much more control over angles and everything to stylize.
Every character is going to be positioned in front of the camera at this angle at this time.
Yeah.
As opposed to a thing where you're wheeling it all around. And they did the funny... the like 3D game trailer thing where they just showed Goku model slow walking through environments and they just like jump cut through them. It's just like, oh, he's in front of Capsule Corp. Now he's at the Kami House. Now he's in like this field where fucking dinosaurs are.
What is this? The PS2?
That's kind of what it felt like. I was like, this is how they have shown off video games in the past. But
that's great.
But yeah, maybe that'll be cool. I don't know. But I mean, they got all that business going on too. So it's just a weird. They're a weird company.
Like you said,
they have their fingers in a lot of pots.
They got that mega crossover game coming out in a few weeks, too.
Yeah. Oh, right. That other
Jump
weird...
something.
Yeah, the other...
That, yeah, I was going to mention all the Shonen Jump stuff that they've done over the years. Like, not even those, like, what, like three? Or is this the second one? I thought this was the third. I don't know. They do a lot of that stuff. They have a lot of work with Shonen Jump.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thing. Yeah, I wonder how that other game will be. Probably adequate. Yeah. I bet. I'm pretty sure the people who like those will be into it.
Because I tried that first one, or whichever one that you got, and it was fine. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah. That's been my reaction to a lot of that stuff. Those handful, I don't even know if they were necessarily Bandai games, but those ones that they put on the DS way back in the day, the 2D Shonen games... I think they were called Jump Superstars. Like, they were like Smash Brothers-esque a little bit.
Let's find out.
But I think they were, like, I'm pretty sure they were health bar-based, not, like, they were platform fighters in the sense that you were jumping around on platforms and then punching each other, but the object wasn't to knock people off the stage, necessarily. It was just to hit them until they couldn't move anymore.
Ganbarion, published by Nintendo.
Okay.
So it wasn't Namco.
But, yeah. I had fun playing those, but those didn't never even, to my knowledge, got a Western release. Like, I imported both of those.
No, just for the fun of it. There were too many legal hurdles at the time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the environment for crossover games and anime is much different now than it was, you know, 10 to 15 years ago.
Bandai or Namco or whoever owns all that in Japan, but
yeah.
So that
American licensing rights, every separate company's own.
That company does a lot of work with Bandai Namco. That's like the first or second sentence. It's like their major, major clients are Bandai Namco and Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. Sure. Who knows? Maybe some of those guys worked on Smash. Anything's possible.
I mean, Bandai's got all those Digimon games too. They've been making those since the goddamn dawn of fucking time. Like,
oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they necessarily
that
even published
Bandai,
those.
That was Bandai, because Bandai is, that's like actually their property. Like,
they were in the Digimon business,
basically,
back in the day.
I think they've done it kind of since, because they did. They're behind Tamagotchi, so they made Digimon.
Okay,
so there you go. So Namco got it.
Funny.
Those games are still coming out.
Is there a new one, like, in the works?
Yeah, I think mean, it's probably, coming out for...
Like, is there one announced, I guess,
yes,
is more my question.
Yes, there is one that's announced, and I think it's coming to, like, everything and, like, Switch and whatever. Okay. No more Vita. Rip.
Interesting.
My poor Vita.
Oh. I'm surprised that they kept that series alive. I mean, I guess it's still involved, though.
Yeah. I mean, the anime is technically still going. I didn't watch the more recent
anime
series.
Anime is forever.
Yep.
Those games, actually, watching you play those, they strike me as a thing that looks, like, properly budgeted for the amount of people they're going to sell it to. Because those Tales games do, like you said, they have that mixed bag of, like, some of the art stuff I think is a little bit of a bummer, but they do put a lot of content into them. They build a lot of, like, enemy assets. They build a lot of, like, open world stuff for you to exist inside of. Those Digimon games are a little smaller in scope, which is not necessarily, like, a shot against them, but it's
and
just,
I
like...
I enjoyed both of those
Cyber if you hold
games.
Both of those games next to each other, you can tell
products.
Which one costs more money.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
But anyway, going back to, Tales of Vesperia specifically.
I'm still having a good time. I got frustrated the other day when it very much reared its head as an old video game, and I had to put it down for a second. But
yeah, that sucked. It has the you just lose your progress thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I hope you saved recently.
I mean, I saved
off.
At the last point I could, but they have save points. It's not like auto-saving stuff because that wasn't invented in the 360.
Yeah, that stuff should have been solved by then. No. I know there are other games that worked that way in that era too, but like... How hard is it to just put a retry button on the screen? Like, that's the bare minimum you should do for people if they wipe on a specific encounter in a game like
you
that.
Think?
Faithful recreation.
I honestly think in this case, like, kind of, like, when I mentioned that one other, like, the rumored remake to you and we were kind of talking about this yesterday, I think it's more of just, like, what is the least amount of anything we have to do? Like, do we not have to... Does the code run on the system? Perfect! Ship it! I don't care.
That bad, huh?
No. I'm just saying, like, I think it's more of, like...
In terms of, like, the amount of heart in the game?
I mean, they didn't add anything. There's nothing new in this game in the PS3 version.
That sounds pretty bad.
It's a remaster, like you said, not a remake. Like, there's nothing...
Yeah, no. Because they did that
already. I don't think they
already.
Pitched it as anything that was functionally different about it. They they're slightly higher res art assets.
This is
assets
a better version that we'd never got here.
They look better than a 360
because,
game did.
Like I said, the in-generation remake of this game came out on the PS3 and we never got it here.
Mm-hmm.
So there is new content in here that has not been released internationally before.
But it wasn't made in like...
It wasn't made in...
The 2010s, let's say.
It was made in the...
2009, 2010, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Anyway.
Anyway. I wasn't coming to this game for it to be a completely new game. I was coming to this game because I like Tales of Vesperia and I wanted to play it again. And I will finish it.
Okay.
But something else has come out that may delay that process slightly.
Go on.
It's Kingdom Hearts 3, baby. Bang, bang.
Like, never heard of it.
Like Duke Nukem? Is that where you were? You came here to play Kingdom Hearts 3 and chew bubblegum, and you're all out of bubblegum?
You know it.
A game that should have been out 6 years ago, but finally crossed the finish line.
Maybe a little longer.
Duke Nukem.
There you go. That's the thing I wonder about that game more than anything. Let's get into that after you tell us how you feel about it so far, because my thoughts are more like on the stuff surrounding it, like the business and how Square is going
to
react.
That's much more interesting to me.
But what do you think of the game so far? Because I've watched you play. Have you played it anymore since that little? So that the amount I watched you play is
yes,
all that
that's
you played
all I played like an hour of the game, and I'm not even out of like the first real area.
Okay.
Game's fucking pretty, though. The game looks really good, and it plays very... Like, I still really like how it plays. Like, the combat has always been... Like, post-Kingdom Hearts chain of memories, let's say. Let's just kind of push the first two games aside. Two onward.
You got it.
The console games, we're not counting the DS ones, because they're bad, have played really well. Like, the combat... They've built on the combat from 2, built on it more in Birth by Sleep, and kind of did more to it in the 3DS game Dream Drop Distance, but that's also, like, the handheld was kind of, like, limiting, let's say, and they tried to shoehorn touch in because, of course, they did. They did it with the first two. But the three major games, that being Kingdom Hearts 2, Birth by Sleep, and Kingdom Hearts 3, have continued to refine the combat system in a way that feels very good. It's very reaction-y, it's flowy, you can customize exactly how you want, like, your character to play as. It feels really good, and I like that.
It looks good in motion. The thing they've added to this one...
It's flashy.
And honestly, I'll lay this out for you because it's too straight up. It's a little too early to talk about like what you how you feel about what the story is or might be because you just haven't played enough of it.
I would just take whatever they gave me because I don't care.
Spoon feed you that.
Hey man, I don't
pure nonsense to the dome.
I've been jonesing for so long.
I like the dumb shit. Like, I'm here for it to be stupid, and I know it's going to be stupid, so I'm going to like it.
But functionally, I do think
doesn't matter.
I do think it looks like they've got that game in a pretty good place. Because, like you're saying, they've kind of been like slowly but surely evolving on it over time. Like every time they put out one of these ones that is like a 3D, you know,
a major release, let's say.
Like the place they were at with and this was at the time where I was still like, I'll maybe play a Kingdom Hearts game to completion. As I played Birth by Sleep on the PSP, and the first thing against that game is that it's a PSP game, and
it was fine, you coward.
All PSP games on some level are inherently questionable. Yeah, it's just like you have one joystick on for a game that was clearly designed that would have been better with two joysticks. So like, fuck the PSP straight up.
It's fine. The PSP is fine.
But the other thing about that game was that it was. From what I remember of it in the first couple hours, which is basically where it lost me, both for the hardware reason and for the like the in-game reasons, is like the way they built out the combat system in that game, it was so dense. Like there was so much going on. I feel like they gave you like three or four different gauges to keep track of in the first like as they were teaching you how to play it, basically.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, I might be exaggerating a little.
You are exaggerating. There might have been like a gauge outside of your like HP bar.
But it was more like they had made it more complicated, not less complicated
that
over
one
time.
Is definitely the densest in regards to combat because there's a lot more customization you can do. You can make your combat flow in many different ways based on like skills you're unlocking, skills you're mastering, and other stuff.
But the thing I think is smart about this one is that they haven't necessarily tossed all those things out the window or, like, explicitly just dumbed it down without adding anything to it. But they've made it a lot more streamlined as far as I can tell because your basic moves are, like, the UI was, like, very clean and very minimalist, which
I kind
of... You might
say it's simple and clean.
One might say that. But, you know, you can mash out, you know, tap, 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 do your, like, three or four hit combos or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the new stuff, a lot of the cool movement options and stuff, and like the new abilities where you can do things like, you know, do a tag team attack with Donald or Goofy or, you know, fucking summon the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad roller coaster and like ride that around the level and just shoot shit. they're like context based where like for the movement stuff, it's like, oh, when you get into a certain type of arena, you can like walk towards, you know, pillars in the Hercules level. And then like they clearly become highlighted in a way that you can just like kind of click on them as one of the actions you're doing in your string of actions to trigger a thing on them.
So a lot of that comes from the 3DS one. There was a lot of chaining together environmental stuff to enhance movement and shift up your combat.
Mm-hmm. Like, that game has, like, a weird, like... It's like, I would say it's, like, maybe 20% derived from Assassin's Creed, and that, like, it's got a free-running thing where you can just, like, walk up to a wall and just run up it.
Yeah, that's completely new. Sora's never done that before, let me tell you.
Which is cool. Like, it's, you know...
It's weird.
It is
really
weird.
It's really jarring, but it's fine.
And the other stuff that triggers, like, a lot of those specials and stuff are basically, like, you'll build up your special abilities or whatever, you'll whack at things for a while, and then, it doesn't overwhelm you with a bunch of information. It's just like, basically your base menu will change ever so slightly and it'll be like, you know, push the triangle button or whatever and do this thing.
So that's also kind of taken from Birth by Sleep because a lot of it was like changing your HUD and then doing different things on that tiny menu.
Mm-hmm.
Which Dream Drop Distance did a little bit, but I think that was more of a Birth by Sleep thing.
Yeah, it's very straightforward and very apparent, and it's the exact opposite of, you know, watching a bunch of tiny icons to watch your cooldown reset.
Yes.
Which I think is smart for the game that they are ostensibly trying to build, at least for a version of the game that I think that they want to put out.
Uh-huh.
Like, that all makes total sense to me. I think it is very smart. And the part where that falls apart for me, just in terms of the game that I suspect they have delivered... And this is, again, just based on what I've, like, heard other people say, plus what I've seen you play so far, is that it's still weird to me that all that stuff is designed specifically that way, and they didn't do, as far as I could tell, a single fucking thing narratively to get someone who is like, I like Disney, and I want this game, and, like, glide them into playing it, like, to gradually give them a ramp up to, like, experience this product.
Is that target even anywhere on the map?
Probably not. But
like, how could it be?
Yeah, and I'm just like
the way this game's story is structured.
The thing that surprises me more than anything, I don't necessarily even think it's a misstep, but it does surprise me in the context of that product being a thing that is released by Square Enix in 2019, because they have been so fickle and so sensitive about so many projects, like so many games that they've released. You know, Final Fantasy 15 and like multiple Tomb Raider games and Hitman and like all kinds of stuff. Where it'll come out, and they'll do, like, relatively well for how, like, you know, multi-million-selling video game products. Like, they're clearly not flops, at the very least. And then the next thing you hear from management and, like, in their press releases and stuff is, like, oh, yeah, that was pretty disappointing. We're going to reevaluate, you know,
the
future of the franchise. Or, like, in the case of Hitman, they just cut those dudes loose completely. In the case of Final Fantasy 15, they went from saying, we're going to support this game for, you know, 2 or 3 years to make our investment back to, like, they ditched everything about that game that, like, their future plans, they just totally put them in the toilet.
Probably for the best.
Maybe for the best, honestly. I'm not in a position to say.
Nothing against that game, either. It's
just, sure.
I don't see the appeal of stringing on a B-minus game for 3 years.
But the thing,
especially
like,
one that long.
Like, when you put all that on the table and you think about how they've reacted in a business sense to all those products, and then you look at what Kingdom Hearts is, you clearly see a path where someone would have said, or at least you'd think someone would have said, you know, our franchises have a minimum amount of appeal. Like, there's certain people who just like Square stuff still. Like, we got those people. There are a shitload of people who just, like, you know, dabble in Disney. Like, they like it enough that if you put Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck on the box, they might just see it on a shelf and buy it. And the fact that narratively that they didn't even, like, it clearly wasn't even a conversation, like, in terms of, like, taking that game to fruition, that they didn't make that product, like, something that could split the difference better, is just really surprising to me. Again, I don't know if it's a mistake, but it is, it's just weird. Like, it just seems shocking.
I mean, I'm probably I know, like, I've seen a lot of arguments about that. And as someone who has played all the games, they've never done that before. That's never been the job of any of these games. Like, they've never, if you picked up Kingdom Hearts 2, you would have, like, having not played either first, like, Kingdom Hearts 1 or Chain of Memories, I've had a lot of people skip Chain of Memories, and it just drops you off in, like, who knows where. Like, you weren't giving any, like, input as to, like, what happened in between these games. They have the journal entries in the game that kind of do that.
Sure.
But that's never been these games' job, is to keep you up. They're just telling a story.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
it's basically like, if you think of it, I know it's probably harder to do this. Think of the Kingdom Hearts games as books rather than video games.
Fair enough.
Like, there isn't a 10-hour prologue telling you what happened in the first, like, 8 books of the, like, the first 1 through 6 of Harry Potter is not going to be summarized in the beginning of 7. And I think that's kind of what they've done with these games. That's why they released those 3 separate HD remakes, where the first 2 on the PS3 were, like, 2 separate compilations of all the games. They re-released them again on the PS4, both in one package, because it took so long for this game to come out. So it's like, the options are there. You just have to do the legwork for it.
I guess what I'm really getting at is, because that does make some amount of sense, but it also ties into the reason that I think it's surprising, because when you put those games in their era, I think that is much more reasonable. Again, from what they seem to be,
this game is of that era because it's been in development for 15 years.
That's the other thing. But from this is like me trying to put myself in the mind of a Square Enix executive. Basically,
don't do that. First of all, that's a bad life decision.
It's like they clearly have seen and can see that the media marketplace is different than it was back then, and that people who are buying video games, like, the net can be so much wider if you build games like such that those people might be included. Like, they'll get the diehards either way. You know, that game will probably sell 3 or 4 million copies because there are that many people who are invested to some degree in Kingdom Hearts. But, I mean, that's a game in my mind that could do, like, twice that business easily if it was built a certain way. And I don't think it's, again, artistically, I'm not at a place to judge whether that's a good idea or not. But it's just weird to me. And I guess it's ultimately the same as all these other things that they've done, like, as a company, like, as a corporate entity. And that they have these games come out, they feel like they're a disappointment financially in one way or another. They know that they want to change something about them, but for whatever reason, whether it's like just the fact that managers can't decide what they want, or that there are like these core clashes between creative people and management where they can't come to, you know, some kind of detente on where to move the needle to make some of these games more, you know, scale them back or make them more approachable or just get them to hit their deadlines or whatever. Like, it's just, Square Enix is just a really weird company in 2019.
Let me postulate this question to you, Dustin. If you were going into Kingdom Hearts 3 completely blind,
mm-hmm.
and you had to watch a half hour or more explanation as to what has been going on for the past decade and a half in these games, would you continue playing this game?
No, but that's not what I would do to it either. And again, you know, I might not be the person to decide, but if it were up to me, the thing I would do to it would be I would I would Destiny-ify it to the nth degree. But I mean, I would make it like you see a cutscene where Sora's talking to Hercules, and he's like, "Heck yeah, let's go save these people, power of friendship." And then in like the bottom right corner of the screen, it says like lore entry unlocked.
There might not be an icon, but there is a you haven't played a Kingdom Hearts game, so you don't understand how big Jiminy's Journal fucking is. There's so much garbage in that thing in every single game. Like, there is so many things that you don't know until you've actually, like, you've read all of Xemnas's stupid research or all of Ansem's notes. Like, you're picking up stuff that is giving you extraneous information that they don't tell you, and it's cataloging everything that happens. All the characters, all their backstories, characters you only hear about.
It sounds needlessly convoluted for a game where Mickey Mouse clubs things with a giant key.
That's my only argument. And again,
thing is convoluted, Dustin. You can't complain about it now.
I mean, that's really my issue from Kingdom Hearts 2 on, is that why is it complicated?
Because
really,
it's Square!
You're mixing your demographics.
I don't know, because it's been like dumb Final Fantasy bullshit from the beginning.
It is just surprising to me, that's
it's
all.
It's not surprising to me, because you haven't played a Kingdom Hearts game.
I played 1 and 2.
And I never will!
I played the ones that counted. I played Chain of Memories. That one actually would, like, we went back to that and played that on that stupid Game Boy stream. That game was kind of fun.
Did you finish Chain of Memories?
At the time. Like,
you finished both stories.
If it required a certain game, probably not. I'm not even sure if I knew there was like a second quest or something.
Riku's
in that game.
Quest. Riku does a bunch of other stuff.
It's
harder.
Honestly, it's been so long that I don't remember. I suspect I didn't.
I'm surprised
it again.
You didn't finish it the first time.
Yeah,
You don't finish video games. Coward.
Anyway, I'm not trying to like drive you to be defensive, because I don't have anything against this game. In fact, I do want it to succeed.
I just think you guys are expecting too much out of something that hasn't had any of that shit from the beginning. Everyone is.
Explaining my reasoning for not really caring about the game.
No, I just mean like not even just like you two specifically, but just everyone who's like, oh, you can't understand this game if you haven't played like a decade and a half's worth of stuff. Like,
I'm sure you there's always going to be the half hour recap YouTube video for the people
that
really want to know.
These games have been out here long enough, because the wait has been long enough for this game that like there's. You could, I think the shortest thing I've seen, like, because you can get long explanations of this game. Like, I've watched at least hour-long videos mm-hmm. on, like, what the fuck is happening in Kingdom Hearts. But the short, like, you could watch a half-hour thing and basically know all you, like, the important stuff you need to know to play this game.
Okay.
Well, it's just too much of a juxtaposition for me. Like,
that's fine.
I don't need complicated storytelling in my Disney universe.
That's fine.
It is very strange.
This game
strange.
Is 1,000% not for everyone.
The other thing I'll say, and this might be...
And I'm not, like, forcing, like, no one
weird.
Has to play
it. I'd find that strange from their marketing approach from the get-go, is that they would still embrace that.
Right. Like, Kyle's right where I'm at.
They don't know what they're doing.
If they reorganized 15 to 20% of this game, I think they could make a game that the vast majority of hardcore fans would still like, and that would be, like... a product that is almost for anybody.
I still don't think that's their goal with this game, though.
I'm not
sure what their goal for the series is.
I think it's to get this game out.
Yeah, right.
Well,
because,
yes.
Lauren,
yeah,
I'll give you that.
Just stop talking over me for like 5 seconds, Dustin. Please. Obviously, I haven't finished it yet. From my understanding, this is the quote-unquote end of everything they've done up until this point. So my assumption is, if there is a Kingdom Hearts 4 or just a next Kingdom Hearts game, it would be some kind of reboot. Or like a reset or whatever. of the franchise, mm-hmm. this like series, new characters, yeah. whatever.
Sora's gonna be trapped in the Soul Stone.
And who cares?
And a whole new team of Keyblade Avengers will need to.
But in your experience playing these games, how many of them have ended either on a cliffhanger or something directly leading into another game, or were, let's say, mostly self-contained, but with, you know, large ties both coming in and going out.
Literally,
versus, you know, as opposed to like a completely isolated
all of them.
Story.
None of them are isolated. They're all interwoven, and it is a disaster.
So when you finished, say, Kingdom Hearts 2, you knew at the time that that wasn't an ending.
There was a teaser.
More story.
There's always a teaser. The games always end with someone getting a letter with a Mickey Mouse sticker on it, and the games continue.
Well, based on that, I 100% expect that Kingdom Hearts 3 ends the same way. That there is enough of a hook to keep a story moving so that the game can go on.
I could see threads going forward, but they've been very adamant about closing a chapter. They have made it very distinctly clear that the main arc that has been over all of these games is coming to an end. But I could definitely see them teasing something in the future, like a new kind of thing, but I don't think it will be necessarily. Like, I don't think it will be a, like, Kingdom Hearts 4 to 3 as 3 is to 2 or 2 is to 1. I don't think it's going to be that. Based on their verbiage alone and having not finished the game yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, the thing you just said, Lorraine, I think is probably the most accurate. And that, and honestly, that's probably where all this comes down, is that, you know, Nomura and the higher-ups and whatever, they just wanted to prove that they could finally ship this fucking product.
I'm pretty. That's.
And thank yes. God that they did.
They did.
Again,
thank
you know,
God.
Good for them.
And it seems to be well received so far.
Yeah, and it looks good. And yeah. I might try it. Like, I might start it. I don't know if I'll finish it, but I'm glad that it exists. I'm glad that they finally made that game, and I'm glad that for the most part it does seem to have been real well received so far. Because yeah, the heaviest lift of all for them at this point was literally to just get a thing on store shelves.
It's the 15 and have it not versus be a tire 13 fire. Thing, like all over again.
The thing you're describing, and like I said, that's where this like every subsequent game they released, it started to fall apart for me a little more. Is like Kingdom Hearts 2, warts and all, because there are parts of that game that I straight up hate in hindsight, like the way that it takes 6 hours to start.
Worst start to any video game I have
ever
experienced.
But it does have a beginning, a middle, and an end in and of itself.
Yes.
Like, they're like, here are these bad guys, they wear cloaks.
Kingdom Hearts 1
fight
does
them
as
all,
well.
And then the game ends. And the elaborating thing, the thing that comes after that, which kind of lays the groundwork for, like, modern Square Enix as we know it, is, like, a super stylized... Ooh.
I'm getting a mercy alert.
Alright, yep. Just snow is bad, I'm assuming, is what the deal is.
Ask everyone to lower their heat to 65 or less through Friday?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Well, I'll do that.
State what
of
does
Michigan,
that mean,
or...
though?
It means we're using
it
too much
we're using
heat.
Too much, yeah, right. They want to take pressure off the gas,
oh,
the
because
grid.
It's so cold. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that was...
I can do that from here, because the app can do that.
Okay, I was...
Anyway.
That was confusing for a second. I'm like, are they trying to freeze us all to death? But no. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Anyway.
They were doing... If they did that, they would just shut it off.
That's true. but I, like, kind of like I was saying, though, like, what you were mentioning, like, them getting this out, that's why I think people are expecting too much from this. It's kind of like the Tales of Asperia conversation a little bit, like, this game is of an era, let's say. It wasn't built necessarily from the ground up as a modern video game. Maybe they did some of that when they transitioned to Unreal, but I think most of that was porting over what they'd already done. Like, systems were in place, UI, whatever. Some of that might have been cleaned up, but I think mm-hmm. their main goal was to just finish. This
sure.
was just like, let's just get to the end of this race and reevaluate from there.
Yeah, and again, going back to that, the Kingdom Hearts 2, because the place I was going with that, where, you know, you beat the game, that story wraps up, and then, I don't even remember if you had to do something special to get it, or if it was just like a post-credits thing, but like, that game had the cutscene in it.
Yes.
Where it's like, here's this battlefield strewn with like 10,000 Keyblades.
So that was also in the enhanced version that only came out in Japan.
Whatever. But then anyway, and then you see
yeah.
guys with masks and they fight each other and it's like stylish and over
Kingdom
the top.
Kingdom Hearts 1 had that as well.
It's all the things that modern Final Fantasy and like just games that are sort of like the games that Square Enix makes are like.
Mm-hmm.
And it did a good job at like, it wasn't explicitly tied into this thing you already played. So it wasn't just like, It wasn't even quite like some of the Metal Gear ones where it's like a bunch of dialogue making you question what has happened over the last 20 hours. It was just like, here's something that's technically unrelated to the thing you did, but it's just a good like stylistic teaser of what is to come. Like that looks fun to either play or to watch. Like it's over the top. It's crazy. It doesn't like invalidate the quest you went on or whatever by saying one more thing. It is literally just like it is a good cherry on top. And then to this day, they're like still paying fractions of that off with this game release. And you know
that
15
that whole
years
sequence
later
was done out in Birth by Sleep, right? That is like literal gameplay of the end of Birth by Sleep.
But I'm saying that like
beat for beat that cutscene.
Like the fact that conflict is like they're still like the pangs of that are still like playing out in these video games even like
they've been
now.
There from the start though.
It's just crazy. And that's just
it's
that's
crazy
again,
for a franchise to have an overarching story that culminates in the third and final release.
I mean, I would say it's crazy to have such like gaps like that.
Well, it's freaking Square. They're
well,
terrible.
Yeah.
Like, again, you're expecting too much, Dustin. You are expecting way too much.
Quite honestly, it's untread territory to some extent, I guess, because most of these franchises, the ones that have run the longest, like the Zeldas and the Marios or whatever, like they don't. There's no grand narrative to
Kingdom Hearts didn't start on the NES. It started on the goddamn PS2.
But it's like
PS2
basically 20 years old now.
Well,
I'm just saying like
you.
It was the goals of games and storytelling were different. These are different eras that you're comparing that kind of isn't good.
Like, I guess what
you're
I'm
making too many comparisons over stuff where there isn't any.
I guess the idea that I'm trying to convey now is that like in terms of this specific criticism, it's like they're in like the One Piece zone for video games. It's like, I don't know if any story is so complicated that it needs to be told over 20 years. And that's not on, again, that's just because their production has been so weird.
Yeah.
Because they've rebooted some of these games more than once. And like technology has changed and
it hasn't been a continuous stream like One Piece. There's been very long gaps between even like the spin-offs are not spin-offs.
Yeah, all I'm trying to say is, like, from a slightly outside perspective looking in, like, that's where people are coming from when they're just, like, scratching their heads about it, is just, like, it's literally trying to understand kind of how it came to this. And when you look at it all, like, it sort of makes sense, but it's just real weird.
I'm just gonna go back to my book analogy, though. Like, you wouldn't jump in on if you saw a book title that literally had, like, a 3 in it, and you knew there were others before it, and you just grabbed the last one off the shelf and be like, why doesn't this make sense? Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I understand that it's very convoluted, probably the worst way to tell any story ever. I'm not defending how they're doing it. I'm just saying, like, it's a third game. Like, it's not a third game. It's like, it's a third numbered game.
It's a third, ninth game.
It's
or
not
whatever.
A first game, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
all right. Anyway, we can, let's move past this part of the conversation because it's just like, I hope that game does well. And I hope that for once they do come out with a press release and they're not like, oh yeah, it's totally let us down because we take 8 years to make things and then are surprised when they cannot recoup their
costs.
That's
all on them, because they're just big dumbs, but, you know, what can you do?
But anyway, like,
bad business
putting
practices.
All that stuff aside, putting away all the, you know, the baggage, basically, because for whether you're a huge fan or not, that, like you said, that game has, you know, it's got stuff.
Hella.
But trying to take the game just for what it is, for the most part, again, having seen only, like, the small chunk of it that you played in front of me, I'm, like, fairly impressed with it. Like, it looks like a modern video game in terms of, like, the way the action flows and just visually. Like, it looks pretty good. Like, it looks cartoony because it's a cartoon, basically. But like, it looks nice. The lighting and stuff is nice. Most of the character models look pretty good. It looks like it flows well in terms of, like I said, kind of ping-ponging off of stuff and, like, doing the action RPG thing. Like, that stuff all seems to function and seems to work. A lot of little, like, the stuff around the edges, like the weird supers where you ride Disneyland rides and you team ups with Donald and Goofy or whatever. Like, those still look fun in a way that, like, that even Kingdom Hearts 2 did, but now that they just look better because it's a game that's on, you know,
modern
consoles, engine on modern platforms. And the core of again, the part that I like, that I hope going forward they are able to divorce from, like if they do a hard reboot of Kingdom Hearts, the core of that being just like an optimistic, you know, just like aw shucks kind of, like Sora is just
dumb, naive, positive
Sora is just a dumb, naive good guy.
Yes.
And that's fine. Like, that's a good for some
He's
things to be that way. And I think that works in the Kingdom Hearts universe. It works well. Like, it meshes perfectly with the Disney thing.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, like, for the world that they've tried to build, it, like, totally works.
They've got their Final Fantasy angst in Riku, but the main characters, the, like, basically Disney personified, essentially, but looks like a Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Zippers. More zippers.
More zippers.
Like, that stuff's all good. Like, I think those are all positive things. Those aren't things that not necessarily every modern games that's coming out these days does. Like, quite honestly, way fewer of them do that, because, like, things that would have gotten closer to that in the past are, like, you know, probably things like your, like, Mario Odyssey, like, other, like, lower profile 3D platformers. So, like, this game's just kind of cheerful. Like, mm-hmm. there's just, like, it's got, you know, primary colors, and it's very vibrant, and it's just kind of,
I mean, that's what you get when you go to a bunch of Disney Worlds.
You know, the right...
Everything's bright and shiny.
It's the right combination of, like, frivolous and happy and engaging, like, all swirled into a pot. Like, it just, that, all that meshes together in a way that I think is really good. Like, I'm assuming that's where most of people's positive reactions that have been, and that, like, for as long as it's taken to come together, and for as many disparate pieces are in there between, like, serving the Square stuff and serving the Disney stuff and just shipping a thing, like, it looks like they did a pretty good job in, like, releasing a thing that functions, and that tonally is, like, consistent and, like, relatively even-keeled.
Mm-hmm.
There's still other stuff with, and I do want to see more of it, but there's other stuff with the way, and this is a thing that I saw in, a different video that, like, you can't toggle the voice options in that game. Like, you can't listen to it in Japanese if you have the English version.
You've never been able to do that.
Which is just...
That's never been an option.
Okay. I didn't actually know that. I mean, yeah. I never tried in the past.
I'm pretty sure it's always been, like, I don't know how far into localizing, like, other languages they go, but it's always just been strictly English dialogue. You don't have any options. They don't, like, I mean, circling back to that first game, they've gotten a lot more into bringing in the Japanese voice actors, as well as even sometimes forgoing an English dub altogether for Tails games. But yeah, there's never been language options, at least for dialogue.
Yeah, I would have been really interested to hear, again, not to have, like, really true proper context about the whole thing, but to hear, like, some of those line reads in Japanese and see, like, some of the dialogue play out in its original language. Because the thing about that game that is still a little weird, in terms of that, like, just the core content presentation layer, taking out even, like, specifics about, like, you know, where they go with, like, the overarching story or whatever, is that there are just things about the performances that just seem, like, the way that literally the word-for-word dialogue is structured and the way that some of it is delivered, that seem like something that was, like, partially translated is too harsh. That's not what I mean. But they don't have the cadence of, like, native English speakers, I guess. And, you know, to be fair, that's true of even, like, Final Fantasy XV and stuff to an extent. I think it might be a little more noticeable here.
I think that's probably just how the games are written and translated and just, like, handed over.
But, like, yeah, it might just be that they don't take their localization to the same extent that, you know, some other studios or even some other projects have.
Because,
like, I would say that...
Because the dialogue has always felt that way.
Yeah.
It's never been any different between any of the games.
And we had some, like half-step criticisms about, like, Persona 5 for that same reason, too. Mm. But this game is, like, a step beyond that in that, like, like, I would say that overall Persona 5 did, a much better job of, just, like, making characters that seemed, just, like, making the dialogue flow better, I guess. And again, I feel like it's maybe just a stylistic choice.
I think at this point, I think it is.
Because,
like I said, the other games have felt like this, too.
But yeah, it's very like 1990s anime to me. Like, that's how it strikes me as. Like, it feels like the Canadian dub of DBZ. which, you know, for me personally is maybe both the slightest of criticisms and also high praise. But it is very strange. Like that part of the like the core product that they've shipped is just like it's unlike the vast majority of video games that are released today.
I mean, that's you could say that sentence about any Kingdom Hearts game, because it's, or the series as a whole. Just put that on the box. You know shit like this.
But I do want to see more of it one way or another. Like whether I'll actually pick up a controller and play it a little myself or not, I'm still not 100% sure. But if you have it on the TV and I'm in the room, I'll sit down and watch you play it.
That's a lie.
Because I want to check more of it out.
That's also a lie.
Do you have any other closing thoughts for now on this very small chunk of gameplay that you've experienced so far?
I'm looking forward to more. I want to finish this game.
Okay.
See where the hell it goes.
It's still pretty long. Like
doesn't surprise me.
Like, at least 40 hours to finish the story, which is like, that's a lot of video game.
I know what I'm getting into.
But anyway.
I'm a veteran. I know what's going on. I've been through the wars. The waits.
The sunk cost is deep. Gotta finish.
I'm gonna do it.
And
that's why I know I didn't want to stream it, because I'd rather just do it on my own.
Sure.
That's not
fine.
Even that.
I
like,
respect it.
Like, it's the same thing, like, I think I told Dustin this off stream, or off podcast or whatever, but it was the same reason why I didn't want to play Persona 5 on stream, because I finished that like months before Dustin did, but I couldn't have like gapped out the
couple hours at a time.
Yeah, I could do that with like 13 because I didn't care, I just wanted to finish it. But I was invested in 5 and I'm invested in Kingdom Hearts 3, that I would rather do that on my own as opposed to like in a more controlled, like metered out fashion.
Fair enough.
I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much.
Well, you'll be able to finish on fill us in on more as you continue to play that game.
I will.
Kyle, have you been playing anything that you'd like to share?
Absolutely not.
That's fine. I figured that might be the case, but I always have to ask.
No, I appreciate it. Someday.
I mean, there's more Destiny. Destiny's still fun. Not gonna get into
games up to my old elbows.
Here's a better question: of all the video games that you have either in your possession or that you might acquire soon, is there anything that you think if you could find the time you might play next?
Mario RPG.
Hell yeah! All right, that's
I have played it. It's just been on my mind, and I've got this NES classic.
I've played that game probably 15 times. That's I fucking love that game. But actually, that. I'll reopen and then reclose the book on Kingdom Hearts for now. My personal favorite thing about Kingdom Hearts is that the original music in those games is very good.
It's real good.
And oh my god, Yoko, I'm gonna have to look it up. Shimomura, thank you. But yeah, she has done some of my favorite video game music in history. She's done the original Kingdom Hearts stuff.
Well,
yeah, right. She did the original Street Fighter 2 soundtrack. She did the Mario RPG soundtrack.
She has good stuff.
She did work on some of those Xenoverse games, I think. Or not Xenoblade. Xenoblade. That's the thing.
Or Gear, even? Was she in there before?
I don't remember.
The Gear games are If I'm remembering correctly, Xenogears is...
The Wii game would have been in 2010. I think that
Mario.
The one that she did for sure.
Oh, Paper Mario.
And a fucking amazing catalog of... like a storied history of output.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the...
Even the Disney remakes are really good. Like the... New takes,
sure.
Like the remixes on
and
classic
again,
songs
seen that
are
much
incredible.
Of it in this game, because you
I'm
haven't
just
played
even
that much
just
of it
talking
yet,
like the past, like... Those other games.
Yeah, but like...
Because they're not like ripped beat for beat, but they've got like their parts of songs. Like obviously some of them get on your nerves occasionally. I'm looking at you, Little Mermaid. But they're good. Like, and then, but then, oh, the original. Let me tell you about Traverse Town. Let me tell you. It was real good.
Yeah, some pieces of that music. What's the little refrain called? The main theme that plays
Dearly
over the title?
Dearly Beloved.
Yeah, that is... Maybe my favorite.
That's like Final Fantasy Prologue level of good music.
Oh, and that's like, it's good on so many levels, because it's good on just being like a good title screen music.
Mm-hmm.
It's good because it totally meets the tone of like it's sort of relaxed and sort of melodramatic in the way that Kingdom Hearts exactly is. Like it is perfectly crafted to the game that it is representing. And on top of that, it's even sort of a reference in itself. Because it's not the same thing as that, like, rising and lowering scale of, like, the original Final Fantasy, like, title music. But it sort of reminds you of it, like, fractionally in the back
of
your head.
It.
Like, that piece of music is one of the best things that's in Kingdom Hearts, as far as I'm concerned.
And it, the parts of that music show up in other songs within the games. There's a slightly different version for the title screen of each of the, like, at least the main ones, if not all of them. Because some of them might do like Simple and Clean remixes a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think most of them have some kind of version of Dearly Beloved on the title screen.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned,
it's a good
she's
song.
Without reproach.
She's a good.
Some excellent output.
Some might say a great. I would say a great.
I'm not related to her. I still do like the pop tracks.
Oh,
like
hell
the,
yeah.
The themes.
Utada Hikari's great. I love her music. Not even just the Kingdom Hearts stuff. I've listened to some of her other stuff.
Really okay. Good. I don't think I've ever heard like
she great.
An album cut from
I've listened to pieces.
Her other output. But again, they those good. Also, for similar reasons, like they're very suited to the product that Kingdom Hearts
and
is.
The and the best part is she does the English and Japanese versions of it. Like she writes and sings both of them. And it's great. And my favorite factoid is that even she doesn't know what the lyrics of Simple and Clean mean. She just wrote them. they're not supposed to make sense is essentially what it is. Because that song is just like, if you've listened to it, like, you know, it's crazy.
And my favorite thing about this game that I told you earlier before we came up here is that Skrillex produced the new one in conjunction with her, which is hilarious and incredible and
stupid.
Which again is just like, it's perfectly Kingdom Hearts.
It's absolutely Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, so good. A lot of good music in those games. Like
yes.
You said, on all fronts, the original stuff and the... I hope the Traverse Town music is in there, because I want to hear it.
You said that you go there, so it should be there. It was in the 3DS one, because you hung out in Traverse Town for a hot second.
My first favorite thing about Kingdom Hearts is Dearly Beloved. My second favorite thing about Kingdom Hearts is the Traverse Town music.
I just love the atmosphere in Traverse Town,
because it sounds like you're standing... on like Main Street USA in Disney World, like eating a snow cone, like that's what it sounds like. again, just like so well made, sound wise, it's just like so good. That music I will listen to on occasion. Like I'll just sometimes turn on the Traverse Town music just to hang out for like 5 or 6 minutes, and it's a pretty good time.
It's a very good time.
Anyway, I haven't really been playing anything either. I think that the only thing I'll bring up probably before we close this out, is that while I haven't really been playing anything, we did watch a couple things that
it's
are
true.
Again,
anime
in the
time.
Ballpark of Kingdom Hearts.
Ba-da,
they're Japanese and ridiculous and, all that nonsense. But yeah, we have watched some anime recently. And I enjoyed it for the most part.
Fits and starts, man. Fits and starts.
Which direction do you want to start in? Do you want to go chronologically or?
Yeah, let's go chronologically.
Okay, so we watched a little bit of two anime series. I guess one mostly to completion so far, because I think there might some
new
episodes might be
coming
out
soon,
but
it might not be out just yet.
But we watched the first season, or the first 13 episodes, whatever, of Mob Psycho 100, which is the other series from the, again, apologies, the guy who makes One Punch Man.
Mm-hmm.
I should look that up too.
I like how you reach for your phone when you're literally staring at a computer.
Anyway, I got lots of options. But,
it's true.
But I liked it a lot.
Yes, I very much enjoyed that show.
That was another example of, like, and we talked about this a little bit when we were kind of just talking to, like, you, Kyle, and, like, whoever else was around over the, like, last weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
But that show is weird because it's not, like, the same as One Punch Man and that, like we had said
it's
before,
not a
I think. And it's a little slower pace, like it's a slower burn.
Yeah.
It is in many ways just as silly.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Just as ridiculous. But it's not like it doesn't have the cadence of like a One Punch Man flows like a sitcom almost.
A little bit.
It's like hit. I mean that in both like action
and he's punching
and right. In that
the
like he hits
lows,
things with his hands.
Yeah.
And in like the jokes come hard and heavy.
Yes.
I feel like in that show, whereas
not only the villains are getting punched, it is also you.
But the Mob Psycho 100 is much chiller while still being like equally preposterous. I think.
Oh yeah.
It's just like it takes its time.
The
more.
The weird is still very much there, and in some cases gets even
and it's right,
weirder.
And it's still explicitly comedic. Like
yes.
It is just. There are many, many, many jokes, like things that are just played for laughs.
Reoccurring
silly scenarios,
like just gags all over the place.
And it is still at its core, like a shonen series, and maybe even more of an explicit one
than
One Punch Man, because again, like because that part of it, like that part of it, isn't really played for laughs in the same way that it is. Like that is the joke to some extent in One Punch Man.
Yeah.
Is that just like we're taking that archetype and making it even more ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, a thing that is already preposterous.
And then
we're, like,
totally
taking
not
it to 11.
Paying off anything like you do in, like, a normal shonen series.
Yeah,
like,
and this one is just more, like, the shonen part of it is way more traditionally that. Mm-hmm. Like, that part of it where he, like, gets all powered up and fights dudes, and, like, you know, participates in psychic battles. Like, there are jokes within those conflicts and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, there are funny things that happen within them.
But those are definitely more of a traditional type thing.
Yeah, like, that feels like more of, like, the arc and the narrative and, like, the thing going forward is based on that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas in One Punch Man, a lot more of it is just, like...
slapstick.
Right, we set up the biggest, silliest, weirdest conflict we can come up with for, like, an episode or two.
Oh, wait, it's over. Okay.
And, right, and then we deal with it in a, like, a fairly hilarious way or whatever. But yeah, I've just, like, I'm trying to think of other specific stuff that, like, caught my attention in terms of, I think one of the bigger things is that, what's his real name? The Mob, the main character. That's, like, his nickname.
That's, yeah, I can't remember what his real name is.
Because he's so plain.
Yeah.
but,
I mean, purposely so.
Right. But that's the thing I like about, like, that, like, the thing I like about the way that they build that character in that show, is that it worked. He works that way to a default, and he works that way, like, for as ridiculous as the show occasionally is, as far as anime is concerned, he is he's an extremely believable, like, middle schooler.
He's a very relatable character.
He's like, quiet and shy, like, in a more genuine way than a lot of those Japanese, like, character archetypes are, I think, which totally works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
he, like, wants to do better, and he tries, and it's, like, he's basically fighting against, like, nature, almost.
Yeah, like, he gets sweaty and has, you know, butterflies in his stomach about talking to girls and stuff, but in, like, a way that is, like, so much more reasonable and grounded than usually is.
It's not, like, a nosebleed that shoots him across
right,
the room.
Like, he's not, like, sitting in
it's
class.
It's like he clams up and is just kind of, like, nervously shuffling away.
Yeah, he's not sitting in class and then sweat drops and then just, like, the word boobies in Japanese appears over his head in, like, a thought bubble. like, it's not that. Like you said, it's a much more, that stuff in that show is much more down to earth and much more, like, real, I guess. Thank you, Lorraine. You're solving my problem for me.
Because I really appreciated words typed in over there and just stopped. One is his name. It's just one.
That's what I thought. Like, I'm obviously he has a, you know,
stylized in all caps.
Somebody gave him a, you know, traditional birth name at some point, but I thought he did just go as one for, like,
yeah,
his artistic
all caps
output.
One.
Yeah. So there's that part to it, and again, in contrast to the, like, the totally over the top ridiculousness of, like, when it does start to ramp up and they have more combat and, like, they do get into what is clearly going to be the arc for at least the next, like, chunk of episodes. I'm assuming there will be 13 more in the
Probably.
Second season or whatever. And the other thing about it that I found really cool is that when we had been talking about some of the other things, or, like, if you take that, you know, shonen fiction in general and the power fantasy of it all, like the Dragon Balls and whatnot of the world, or if you take, like, Western superheroes and you take, like, The Incredibles and you take its spin on that stuff, like, this show explicitly goes the opposite route in a very Japanese way, I think, at the end of the day, which is really interesting to me. Whereas those shows are, you know, those pieces of media, and The Incredibles specifically, because we've had that conversation before, too, about, like, if you scratch the surface of that... underneath just the superhero movie, there's like a little bit of libertarianism in there of just like, all the superheroes should just be allowed to be awesome all the time because they're so much more awesome than everybody else. Like, why can't you people on the street just get the fuck out of the way so Mr. Incredible can plow through buildings and save everyone? And this show is, like, explicitly not that. Like, the biggest, most impactful things that happen in this show are
like, the quietest.
Well, and the, like, the core narrative is that this kid, he has the capability within him to unleash overwhelming power.
And chooses not to.
And chooses not to, and, like, suggests that other people not do it for the same reason. It's just really funny. Like, that's part is where they come down on, like, the, like, that's kind of, like, the last thing that happens in the first season, but that's the twist that this show does on the shonen thing of, it's not just, like, the final thing that happens is he does
I mean, he's
unleashes power to 120%.
One Punch Man, essentially.
Right, and just, like, you know, wipe everybody out and then go home. It's that through positive reinforcement from his very normal, like, kind of sleazy, sleazy but lovable mentor slash fake psychic guy. The lesson he learns is that restraint is a good thing. it was just really refreshing and like in a similar way to One Punch Man that One Punch Man was, but not identically so.
Yeah, different flavor.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. The more it was a super slow burn, I will say that. Like the first two or three episodes, like really take their time.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get like halfway through it or a little deeper, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It does ramp up a lot.
And then the other thing we watched was the first season, the first 13 episodes. I don't know, because I don't know if they split them up that way in Japan or not, or if it's just for the American releases, but whatever. The first 13 episodes of My Hero Academia, which I do like, but it's not quite the same. Like, it's not, I don't like it unapologetically, I guess.
Yeah.
In the same way that I liked Mob Psycho. I like it with the caveat that it is exactly another shonen series. Mm-hmm. So you need to know whether you want to watch that or not before you start watching it.
Unfortunately, which kind of bummed me out. Because I'd heard so many, such good things going in that I kind of like hope like, oh, maybe it'll be like a little like a One Punch Man-y kind of thing where it subverts the genre a little bit, but not really.
Right down to the production things. That's the other thing I had said before is that like from the word go, it does the like we're gonna splice a minute of the last thing that happened in the last episode in front of the next one because run times and gotta save those animation dollars. So like that just plain sucks.
Yeah.
Like there's no upside to that. It's just unfortunate. But I do like, I am enjoying it
it's
in like
an
a
interesting,
popcorn movie
yeah,
style
it's an
way.
Interesting like series, that's for sure, but it's not, I know it's not going to hook me in the same way that it's hooked other people.
Yeah, I can understand if you've watched a very limited number of those, or especially if it's your first one, like if you haven't you know, seen Bleach and Naruto and Dragon Ball and 15 other ones of those pass you by over the course of consuming media. like, I totally get why you would land on this and, like, be totally infatuated with it. Because it seems like a very good one of those.
Yeah,
like,
it's
it doesn't
very
seem,
well done.
It doesn't seem poorly made in that sense. Like,
it's very unique.
Like, the characters like, I do like, for the most part, although they're a little one-dimensional in the way that they just are in shonen fiction.
Especially, there's so many of them so quickly. Like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that a lot of the character designs I like.
Yeah.
Like, the... Because this show is like its hook is that it's like it's kind of
superheroes are everywhere.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of riffing on like more Western style comic book superhero stuff. Like it's that viewed through a Japanese lens, basically. But a lot of them have fun weird abilities, like they do
like frog.
The girl who's a frog.
Quirk. Frog.
My favorite one by far in terms of just being strange is the dude with like four arms body parts on the ends of his limbs.
It's the creepiest, grossest thing I've ever seen.
It's so good.
I hate him
because they
so
just
much.
Cut to him and he's just like
an
he's
ear
got his
and like
he's
two
got
mounds.
His arms splayed behind him like he's got weird
there's, like,
back creature.
Between. It's so
and then there's
gross.
Just ears on the end of all his weird back arms and he's just like I think they went that way because I can hear them with my various ears
it's
and
so
that
gross.
That just rules.
It's
like,
so
that's
disgusting.
Great.
I hate it so much. I just hate.
And. Other than that, like I said, I'll watch more of it.
Sure,
it just hasn't it hasn't swept me off my feet.
No,
it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Yep.
But nothing to be shocked by any means. I would say, like, it is exactly what
it's
you
not
think
a
it
revelation.
Is. It is neat. It is neither underdelivered, but it definitely hasn't overdelivered for me either. It's one of those. It seems relatively well made. And some of the characters seem very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my last note on that is that I'm going to try to watch as much of that in English as there is, because Chris Sabat is he's like his mentor. He's
All Might.
All Might, the superhero.
All the characters on the show.
but I never am sad when I hear Chris Sabat's voice, ever. It's impossible
really?
For me to... I can't not, man. I don't know what it is. It's just like... It brings me comfort. It's like...
I had diminishing return on that voice. Like... All right, we get
maybe,
it.
Maybe it's just it's been so now? Long that I was just ready for maybe. Like to hear him again, because I haven't watched Dragon Ball in a good long while. I haven't watched anything else, like, you know, whenever we last...
checked in with Chris Sabat.
Right, whenever we last watched some chunk of like, English Fullmetal Alchemist, it's probably the last time I've heard his voice, but...
The weirder thing about the dub, though, it gets me every time, is that Barry the Chopper is the principal, and it's just, like, I can't hear that voice and not picture that, like, maniac serial killer from...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of the... I mean, it's Funimation... Yeah, produced
Winry's
but,
there
yeah, there's a lot of
Panaco Rock like it's half
a lot
of
the folks from any of
there.
Those series you can pick them out in the lineup or whatever.
Hughes is there and he's not dead yet.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think I like about this performance in particular, like maybe that's the thing that I'm getting out of it more than anything, is that like when he's in like actual superhero mode, he's more Chris Sabat than he's ever been.
peak Sabat,
right? He's like Piccolo and fucking Armstrong mm-hmm. plus drugs or something. Like he's like he is that voice to like right as far as the knob can be turned. And then when he powers down, it's just a much chiller, much more normal dude
he sounds
performance.
Like an actual
like,
human.
Right, like it sounds like that character, but yeah, he speaks in a way that is just like if you heard that voice ordering like a Subway sandwich next to you, you wouldn't necessarily think twice about it. Which I really enjoy. Like, I like mm-hmm. that a lot. And I suspect that the Japanese performance is probably the exact same way.
Probably.
But I don't know that I would get as much out of it mm-hmm. being not a speaker of the Japanese language. Like, I'm sure there's probably, like, it is probably performed in the same way where there's, like, a stark difference between how the character acts when he's in one mode or the other. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my, like, my call out for... Piccolo's great. and by extension, Chris Sabat is also great. That's all.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Were those knuckles or was that like a soda?
Crack at some knuckles here.
Okay. About to punch somebody?
Maybe.
Can you give me a plus ultra?
I can't do the inputs for stuff like that.
but anyway, that's what we've been up to, I guess, other
anime.
Than playing a handful of video games. But that's been fun. Again, like that stuff is nice sometimes. It doesn't necessarily
not
have to be.
Everything has to be high art.
Yes, 100%. Sometimes you need comfort food and you need, you know, a warm blanket and you need colorful
a
screaming characters
movie?
Punching each other. Yeah, I'm going to watch that at some point. I still haven't checked that out yet.
It's on YouTube now.
I heard that. No, don't say that. Now they'll hear you. No. They'll take it down.
No, I whispered. It's okay.
Okay.
All right, good point.
You can't hear whispers over the internet.
Yeah, I might go see if that's still up later. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Get your Chris Sabat for the day.
There you go.
Let me just say that not being high art definitely applies to Kingdom Hearts. Let me enjoy my garbage.
I mean, right, it's very similar.
I don't want to argue about Kingdom Hearts anymore.
Agreed. But anyway, yeah, that stuff is it's fun. Like you both said, it doesn't have to be it doesn't necessarily have to be challenging to be worth checking out sometimes. Sometimes you just need to come down, especially in 2019. Like you just need a thing that is just earnest and silly and predictable.
Yeah, I'll take some consistency.
Me too. And with that, I think we might just call it a show.
Wow.
Thank you, Lorraine. For hanging out and it's talking true. About stuff and sharing more Kingdom Hearts thoughts in the future.
It's true. I will. You can't stop me because you asked for it. You want it. Here it is.
Thank you, Kyle, for joining us via the internet and hanging out with us for a little while.
I'm going to go stick my tongue to a frozen pole.
Don't do
happens.
That. No.
That seems bad. That seems like
I've heard that gives you power.
No, it doesn't.
Only one way to find out, I suppose.
Now, if it's a live
you know,
wire,
you make
then
compelling
yes.
argument, but I'm not sure.
I'm gonna suggest against the pole, but cut maybe one of the power lines and see what that does.
Okay, that should be just fine.
Some might say it's a little shocking.
Anyway. Well. Yeah, I think
I'm electrified by this new idea.
I think we might as well call it there. We're not gonna get
chaotic good at work.
We're not gonna shock anyone any further than we already have.
I'll let you know when I get hit with the next bolt of inspiration.
Oh, I don't have another.
All I hear is thunder and claw.
Kyle, They were both good. You both get extra credit.
This is the well conversation all over again.
We will see you next time.
It's always a good time for puns.
Always.
With more puns and more video games.
Hopefully more puns than games.
On the Qlcorn News podcast. So.
As long as I just don't meet any resistance.
You win. That's it. I'm out.
Catch you on the flip side, Internet.
Bang, bang.